Hi. My impression, and again from my experience with power laws, is that you have a winner-take-all effect in a power law domain. So one person has 50% of the wealth. That's the 80-20 rule. If you recurse it, you get 150, and so on. And maybe we're close to that with super spreaders. If you look at Barabasi's work, it's a power law. Without going into the details or try to calibrate, it seems that the impact of super spreaders is in that category. In other words, you just have to catch the super spreaders, and you're pretty much safe. No, so can you comment on that? Because we saw that paper that the UK geniuses were using has what does it have, a gamma or exponential distribution?
A gamma distribution. Yeah, yeah,
something in the they have a distribution in the and pretty much the outside the sub-exponential class. So in other words,
it's an exponential distribution, basically. It cuts
off. Yeah, it is. So it is not in the class where you have these effects. I mean, to simplify it to the general non-mathematical reader. Okay.
So leaving out tail events by not having a fat tail distribution is critical to real modeling of an outbreak that includes the kind of dynamics that we're seeing here. And in particular, if you base an analysis of the outbreak on the earliest period of time, that's going to be before a super spreader event happens. And so you're misestimating the parameters, because once there's a super spreader event, not only does that event happen, but increases the population, so increases the sampling of the tail.
Okay, no, but there's another effect. Aside from the modeling thing, there's another effect, and it is that if you limit social contact per person, it may not have a big impact on regular people, but it clips the tail of the super spreader.
Right. So it is a cheaper policy. I agree. It's really important to cut the tail. The problem is that this virus spreads so rapidly that it's not just the tail that creates this rapid growth. So cutting the tail helps, but it's not enough. And that's why you have to do a lockdown, because just cutting off, you know, sort of large events and socialites is not going to make enough of a difference in order to stop it. It would make enough of a difference to slow it down.
I sort of disagree. I was saying that it's easier to just clip part of the distribution. And of course, there's another fat tailedness in the parameters, duration, and stuff like that.
Right, but you have to clip the distribution at about 2-3.
Yeah, but the effect, you underestimate the impact can be huge.
I'm not saying that it can't be huge. But you still have to cut it down below one.
Yeah, of course. Now let me ask.
That's just not going to happen, right? That's just not enough. So the point is that I definitely agree that cutting off the tail, but for this kind of distribution, there's enough weight still in the 1-2-3 transmission cases.
Okay, we're short of time. So let's switch. Let's switch to the second point. What makes you so positive that we can pretty much clean up the whole thing in 2 to 4 weeks?
So, I mean, it's really very straightforward. If you really isolate everybody in their homes, then, and you wait 2 weeks, 2 weeks is the incubation time, then you know everyone that's sick, basically. And so once you know everyone that's sick, you can isolate not only them, but their family members. But because their family members have been infected, it takes a little bit longer in order to get the outbreak down to no cases, because those people are infected. And there are also all kinds of random things. I mean, people at early at least had to get necessities and so on. So it takes a little bit longer, but basically it takes a couple of weeks plus. So it's 3-4 weeks.
Okay.
And that's what happened in China, and that's what happened in South Korea.
So you're optimistic. Basically, if you have a clear idea of what to do and about the real probability distribution of things, then you can definitely come up with good solutions. We just have one half a minute left. So very quickly, in 2 or 3 sentences, can you explain why these models, when you go from individual to aggregate, they miss something quite central, which is the path dependence, what we call the ergodicity. You call the ergodicity, I call it the path dependence. Can you quickly explain?
They're both correct, yeah. So the problem is that on the way up, you don't know who's infected. And so the dynamics are described by a certain set of equations. But on the way down, because you've isolated people, you know who's infected. So the same equations don't hold, because you only have transmission within families. You don't have transmission to the public. And so the total framework of the equations has to change.
Okay. That's excellent. Okay, thanks a lot, Yanir, and let's do it again. And as you see this time, I've interrupted you less than last time. So hopefully the viewers will not be upset.
Okay, thanks. Great, let's see. Right, and I'll ask you next time.
Thanks, all right, ciao, ciao, bye.
Ciao, ciao.